Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
No way out. Thank you, Anne. Lord, bless this word now, we pray. We think of the power of your word. Fall upon us with your Holy Spirit and with your word. And with that cocktail, we pray that you will change our lives in Jesus' name. And so it happens, if you've heard the title of the book, "If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat." That's kind of where we've been coming from with these people on the street. So I'm talking about rivers and boats. And it's kind of a little bit messed up, to be honest with you, but I'm going to try and deliver it anyway. Like Daniel Sturridge, the England forward, said about his mum, when they were about to play Italy, she says, "Get out there, son, and mash it up. Mash it up, son," she said. Well, they kind of messed it up in a way, but that's what I'm going to do, is mash it up. And we're thinking about the boat and getting out and walking on water for God. When I was in America about 25, 6 years ago on business, because I knew I was going to be out there for about 3 weeks, I took Debbie with me, and she was huge because she was pregnant with our first child, Abigail. And she knows I'm going to say this anyway. But we were there, and she was kind of in the pool in the day, and I was in work. I was out there for about 3 weeks, so she was kind of in floating in the pool through the day, and I was out in work. And this guy said to me, and I apologize, Karen, he was German, and he said to me, forgive this accent, but we'll chat about this after if it's going to offend you. He said, what does your wife do in the day? I said, "Oh, she just lounges about." And he said, "You have a boat?" I said, "No." He said, "She launches the boat?" What we've done recently is launch a church. A boat, however we want to look at it. But the thing is this, we need to know when to leave the boat as well and take risks, as we've been thinking about, and not just stay in the boat, because I'm concerned we might get a little bit ratty. That is, if you know Wind in the Willows, his favorite thing was to mess about in boats. "Isn't it wonderful," he said, "just to mess about in boats?" And I'm concerned that as a church, we might just stay in the boat. Often we like it to, "Oh, we'll just preach to the choir." We could just go around healing the choir. And I think it's wonderful that when we come into church, sometimes we see people praying for each other and so forth. But I'm just concerned that we make sure that it's part of our DNA, that we don't just keep it in our community, that we step out of the boat. And as we're thinking this morning, we'll take risks. Because I think this church is going to reach backsliders, prodigals, people on the fringe. But unless we're prepared to take risks and step out of the boat like we've been thinking about this morning, we'll not grow to the church that God wants us to be. Jesus didn't do a huge amount with his inner community. He went out and he took risks, if you like. I know that he did work with things like Peter's mother-in-law and so forth. But one of the miracles that he did with one person was Peter, in the sense that Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk on water. And if we just stay in the boat, we'll be ratty. Now, when we've been looking at Eden, the name for the new church, we've been looking at different verses recently. And we read about a river in Eden that goes out. And we'll find this, that it splits into four rivers. A river that goes out and splits into four rivers. You remember we said about Adam in Genesis, he was to contend and extend. One person remembered, I have this amazing effect on you. Adam had to increase the garden. He had to be prolific. He had to get outside of it. He was to contend and extend. And that's what we need to do as a church. And our greatest danger is not taking risks. That is our greatest danger. And you know, if we don't go out, if this river doesn't go out of Eden, we'll become like the Dead Sea and we'll just evaporate. We have to go out, and we'll see it split into four rivers. Jesus, we read in Acts chapter 10, he went out doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. To sum up his life, that's what he did. He went out healing and bringing blessing to people outside. This word that's used in the Garden of Eden, water in the garden, is a very interesting word. It's where we get the Hebrew word butler from, or a cupbearer. And it literally means to serve. So as a river, as a church in Eden, we have to go out to serve. Jesus came to serve. We are a river which goes out to serve. We're going to be a boat in a minute, but we are a river that goes out to serve. And it's interesting that this word for the river separated into four different rivers, it literally means to break, to spread, mash it up. It's interesting, it's the same word that's used in Psalm 22 when Jesus said this on the cross, all my bones are out of joint. And I tell you this, we will never reach our potential as a church until God puts our bones out of joint and spreads us open for him. As we say, no pain, no gain. Bjorn, from the group ABBA, if you remember, the two couples had a divorce and they split up, but they stayed together as a group. And this is what he said. It wasn't our happiest time, but it was our most productive time. Do not kid ourselves, church. God's got to break us up. And just like the river flowed out of Eden and was broken up into four, that's the only way we'll spread. And that's the only way that we'll know God's blessing. In Ezekiel 47 and Revelation 22, we read about trees by the side of the river that flows. And we read about these leaves that come off the trees for healing and for medicine. And the word is remedy, to make whole and so forth. And this is our job as the river that comes out of Eden, is to heal and to help people to be made whole. There was a program on BBC recently, and there was a girl, and you know what it's like, there's people on drugs and so forth, and it's a program on BBC, I've forgotten the name of it, and the police it follows the police around with cameras and so forth, and there was a 17-year-old girl, and at 12 years of age, somebody kidnapped her and injected her with heroin. And she was addicted to heroin because she'd been taken prisoner when she was 12. What hope is there for people like that? You can't say to people, oh, you need to change your life around. Grace, my youngest daughter, is doing a children's nursing degree. And she went to visit a house. And there was an urn, there was ashes on the mantelpiece of an 8-month-old baby. And the mother had been injecting the baby with heroin to make her sleep at night. This is the world we're living in. Sometimes we don't see these things. And God says, I'm going to have to break you up and send you out. And this is what we read in Ezekiel 47, thinking about the river. Wherever the river flows, everything will live. And God has to deal with us as a church so that we'll be broken and that we can go out and flow into places and flow into people's lives that they might be healed. Some of the lines like that, what we've been thinking about this morning. You see, revival is messy. And when the church is revived, so is the devil. In Acts 28, Paul is in a boat with a bunch of prisoners, and God says, you're going to have to get out of the boat. And the boat smashes into the rocks. And they're all hanging onto driftwood, and he's the same as all the prisoners in the water. And they're just hanging onto pieces of driftwood. And God says, I'm going to have to smash you into the rocks and get you out into the water so you can feel the same pain as everybody else. We're no different to anybody else. We go through divorces, we go through pain, we go through problems with our children. We're the same. And sometimes God just pushes it all out into the same water so that we can be more powerful and empathize with people. And it was the only way that he could then take them onto the island of Malta and do some incredible miracles with snakes and healing, and the whole island turned to God. But the only way he could do it was to mash them up. He had to smash them into a rock. And it's all not going to be all romantic with this new church. God's going to bring pain into our lives that he might help us grow and empathize with people who are suffering. What you say to a family that's injecting their baby with heroin, what do you say? Wherever the river flows, everything will live. And in Matthew 14, as Anne was reading to us, Jesus got rid of the crowd. Reminds us that this is a costly thing if we're going to serve God in this way. And then he said to them, go ahead of me. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Get in the boat and go ahead of me. Hang on a sec. I didn't sign up for this. I signed up to follow you, not to go ahead of you. But he says, I want you to take risks. Just like David in the Old Testament danced before the ark, he risked his reputation and he was criticized for it. Are you prepared to risk your reputation? And he made them get into the boat. And then we read this, the wind was against them. Ever been like that? You think you're obeying God and then everything goes wrong. The wind was against them. And this was the worst place, because it was in the middle of the lake. Now I'm going to bring in different verses that different gospel writers talk about and give you the picture, the full picture. We read in one of the gospel writers that it was in the middle of the lake. That is, it was just as hard to go back. They couldn't see land behind them, and they couldn't see land in front of them. They were stuck in the middle, and it was just as hard to go back as what it was to go forward. You read this, the waters were rough. We read Jesus hadn't joined them. He says, you know, go ahead of me, I'll be there. But he didn't come. He didn't turn up. And have you ever done that in life, where you do something for God and God doesn't turn up? Where is God when you need him? We read it was the fourth watch of the night. It was the darkest hour. Where's God in the darkest hour? And the word for wind is interesting, if you're interested. Maybe you're not. When Jesus talks about the wind blowing through the trees in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, he uses the word pneumatic. And he says, you see the trees moving. You can't see the wind, but it's like the Holy Spirit. And yes, great. And then it's a different word here. So you're thinking, Peter's thinking, and the disciples are thinking, when the rain is splashing in their face and the wind is blowing their head off, is this God or is it something else? And when we go through storms in our lives, we're thinking, is this God or is it somebody else? They thought that Jesus was a spirit. They didn't even know it was him. And then one of the writers says this, it looked as if Jesus was going to pass them by, as if he's staring past them. And you think, hang on a sec. I've put myself in this vulnerable position. I've trusted God, and it's almost as if God's going to pass me by. You know, sometimes God wants us to feel his absence before we can feel his presence. Peter said, if you say, come, if it's you, then I'll step out of the boat. And he begins to walk on water. And then it all goes wrong because he sees the waves. And I can think of so many times where I felt God speaking to me, and then we step out onto the water and things go wrong and we doubt what he said. That's why he gets us out of the boat onto the waves, so that we'll really tune into him. Because when things go wrong, we can't doubt what God has said to us when we're strong. We can't doubt what he said when we feel weak. We've got to hang on to what God says. And when he began to look at the waves and he took his eyes off Jesus, I often think, why didn't Peter just wait for Jesus to get into the boat? Maybe he thought he was going to go past the boat, because one of the gospel writers says he was going to pass by. Maybe he thought, I want God so much, I don't want him to miss me. I don't want to miss a blessing. I don't want to miss out. So maybe he thought that, and maybe he just wanted to get to where Jesus was. It was a long way down. It wasn't just like a small fishing boat. This was a long way down. This was an incredible risk that Peter took. But you know what it's like when one of your children falls over and runs to you with a cut on their knee. They feel your love in a totally different way. And if they hadn't fallen over, they would never feel the love that you've got in catching them when they fall. And there is nothing like sensing and feeling the love of God when you're sinking. And sometimes God has to allow us to sink so that we can feel what it's like when he catches us. Sometimes the only way is to fall. Sorry, you English supporters. The Nike advert. There is no greater danger than playing it safe. You will never feel the arms of God if you don't take any risks. And there may be people here today and you're frightened to take a risk. And this is what we've been talking about this morning. Anthony Hopkins, I don't know if you know this, he wrote a waltz 50 years ago. And he was too frightened to have it played in public. And a couple of months ago, it was played for the first time in 50 years. And you can have a look, it's on YouTube, whatever. And what's the guy's name? Rue, is it? Is he German? I can redeem myself. Pardon? Dutch. Okay. Imagine, it's an incredible thing to see Anthony Hopkins' face listening to his waltz that was written by him 50 years ago that he wouldn't play in public because he was frightened of what people thought. There is music in your life that needs to be played, but you're frightened to take the risk and step out of the boat. But if you're going to walk on water, you have to step out of the boat. And you will sink at times. And you will see the waves. But you will feel the blessing of God catching you and lifting you to a higher level than you've ever been lifted before. In the Narnia books, the badger says to one of the children about Aslan, "Of course he's not safe, but he is good. Of course God isn't safe, but he's good. And he wants us to take risks." And as somebody said, a famous person said, "Be yourself. Everybody else is taken. And the only way you can be yourself is to step out of the boat and take those risks and feel God through the wind, through the rain, through the pain, lifting you, supporting you, and bringing you through the storm. He will bring you through the storm. Sometimes he has to mash things up so that we can feel his arms around us. If you want to get out of the boat, if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. We have to take risks. We will feel pain, but God will break us open and pour in blessing, and rivers will go out and bless this town and beyond. May that be a prophecy to this church today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that sometimes our happiest times are not our most productive. David's greatest psalms were when he was suffering pain. Songs in the key of life. Lord, we pray for every single person here this morning that is suffering pain. There will be many, many people here this morning that are feeling that they're sinking. Lord, lift them up. Put your arms around them. Heal them. Bless them. Lord, we just pray that we'll have the courage to get out of the boat. That we won't look at the waves. That we won't look at all the things around us that depress us and pull us down. Help us to fix our eyes on you and to trust you in all of these things. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.